Let's look at the text at the bottom of, if you're happy with that, look at the text. At the bottom of 3 or 4. Again, I think this is just a recapitulation of what we've already done. I've been baptized with impure water for rebirth, meaning he's gone through difficult desires to get here. A flame from the fire of hell awaiting me above the baptismal basin. I bathed myself with impurity, and I have cleansed myself with dirt. So he's been through difficult, I think he's talking about his relationship with Tony Wolf here, sinful stuff, but it has taught him some valuable lessons. I accepted
what footnote was that again?
Actually, we're all for footnotes for a change. It's the text.
All the text.
At the bottom of
304. You did cite a page that's coming up a long ways away, but and it talks about love, and I just wondered if that had to do with Tony Love. That it wasn't just a sexual relationship.
Where is that? Should we wait till we get there, or you want to look at it?
Yeah, no. Let's wait till we get here.
Because this next page is tough, too.
Yeah, because this is page 327. So, but it's footnote 224. Just to keep in mind when we get there. See what was happening on footnote.
Yeah, I figured if it's ahead, we'll worry about it later.
Yeah, okay. The dark one whom you should awaken.
So that the italicized, I think, is essentially what I just read. Let's see. It gets worse. Because we got 1, 2, 3 pictures in a row. A couple of points on that last paragraph. I understand this as a recapitulation of where we have been. Truly, I have shot down a proud enemy. Well, that's Siegfried. I have forced a greater and stronger one to be my friend. In other words, this whole process has led to these figures of Phanes, Telesphorus, etc. And I think that's the essence of that paragraph. Again, just trying to keep it somewhat manageable.
Now, who's the strong one?
Well, I think the strong one would have been Siegfried and Izdubar before he got dealt with. Mm-hmm. And Yuma's saying, I have gotten rid of those power drives, putting it very rationally. And I've discovered the source of inspiration. I should probably bring it, maybe. There's a beautiful vase, which I stumbled on in Athens. Got a picture of it. Where Hephaestus is slaying the dragon with tongs holding molten material. See, usually the dragon is slain with a sword. But what that vase said to me, there's a slaying of the dragon through creativity. And that's what Jung has discovered. You don't have to overpower it. You have to create something of value. And that dissolves the power drive. You don't have to pretend you're valuable. You are valuable. And value doesn't shout.
So like instead of fighting... dragon, do something creative.
And it absorbs the dragon. Now, that's a little simplistic. You do have to get the best of your negative tendencies, which often shows up as a dragon fight. But in the larger sense, Jung is going beyond the idea of Freud that you control the unconscious. You control life. Freud never gets beyond control. And he's realizing creativity and inner guidance are just as powerful as the efforts that we make. And that's new. Still, as I said, it hasn't been accepted by mainline psychology. And I'm always appalled when I meet a practitioner who admits it. Because most of them will defend against it by saying Jung's a flake. But in Jungian parlance, which hasn't yet been written at this point, is the self defeats the ego. And the self provides a way of living based on relatedness, not on dominance. Not on dominance, but based on relatedness, generosity, giving, sharing. Well, you guys saw Yo-Yo Ma, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen him in person, but I've watched him. He doesn't have to dominate anyone. His music is... What's power in the face of that? He doesn't have to be a big shot. Yeah, that's what Jung is. It's that spirit that Jung has tasted. Now, has he integrated it yet? No. But he knows it exists. Or that story of Einstein going looking for the lecture hall where he was going to lecture as a young man, and he stopped and asked one of the staff at the University of Zurich, where is Professor Einstein speaking? And that guy said, well, don't even bother. You'll never understand what he's got to say. Because he looks so down to earth, you know? And he said, well, I am Professor Einstein. That's this value. I hate the word power. You might say the potency of value. Well, we got more pictures. This being the first. And I think it's worth going into... Let me read you a couple of... keep going for a second until I actually see if I can read this crazy text. So here's his commentary to this picture. This stone set so beautifully is certainly the lapis philosophorum. Does everyone know what the lapis philosophorum is? I don't need to go into that. It is harder than diamond. So that tells me this is another image among Telesphorus Phanes of the redeemed mind presenting itself to him after the night sea journey. But it expands into space through four distinct qualities, namely breadth, height, depth, and time. It is hence invisible, and you can pass... I think maybe I'll skip that stuff. That's enough. He introduces Ha here. We'll see Ha later. Ha is, he says later, the secret of the runes. And namely, in later language, synchronicity. So I believe he's got his first intimation of what he's later going to call synchronicity. The runes are oracles. Again, why I suggested that what we're seeing here now are images of all his future work. Let me see, there's something else I wanted to... I can find my notes. Yeah. Does that make sense so far? I don't think that's too hard. Well, basically what we've got here is an image of the self. Now, he makes, this is a complete detour, just for fun. You're having fun, aren't you? this is a complete detour. He refers ahead, or back, to a couple of statements he's made. That the, remember those pictures of the two cones? And that each cone had a sun. He mentions at that point, which we didn't read, that he placed a hard scene in between the two cones that were touching.
A hard
seed? Seed. S-E-E-D. So all he's doing is saying, this figure here, although we didn't quite realize it, it showed up earlier in my imagination that there was a hard seed between those two cones.
The Hiranyagarbha.
So, I guess that's what it was, yeah. Now, the reason I mention that, just to show you how I, anyway, I'm trying to document my feeling that what we're seeing here are seeds of his later thought. Did I think I passed out last time, this sheet. You want to get it out? That's Collected Work 10. It was written in 1946, so that's 30 years later. And I'll read it and I'll show you why I'm doing this. Since psyche and... This is what I would call late Jung. Since psyche and matter are contained in one and the same world, and moreover are in continuous contact with one another, and ultimately rest... on irrepresentable transcendental factors, it is not only possible but fairly probable even that psyche and matter are two different aspects of one and the same thing. The synchronicity phenomena point, it seems to me, in this direction, for they show that the non-psychic can behave like the psychic and vice versa without there being any causal connection between them. Our present knowledge does not allow us to do much more than compare the relation of the psychic to the material with two cones. So I think we're seeing the much later development of some of these early ideas. That's why I mentioned it.
Wow. Congratulations on that.
Well, I guess.
That's great.
But I remember reading this passage. I just think this is some of Jung's most beautiful prose. And thinking, now, Jung, where did you get that image of two cones whose points touch but don't touch? Well, this is where he got it, right here. Two cones whose apices meeting in a point without extension, a real zero-point touch and do not touch. In my previous writings, I've always treated archetypal phenomena as psyche, because the material to be expounded or investigated was concerned solely with ideas and images. The psychoid nature of the archetype, as put forward here, see, this is where he develops his later ideas about the archetype. Psychoid aspect of the archetype, as put forward here, does not contradict these earlier formulations. It only means a further degree of conceptual differentiation, which became inevitable as soon as I saw myself obliged to undertake a more general analysis of the nature of the psyche and to clarify the empirical concepts concerning it and their relation to one another. But what struck me so much is that we get the cones here. We had the cones earlier. In this footnote to that picture, he relates that diamond to what was between the two cones. So that, and we also saw just a minute ago the reference to Ha, which was related to the runes. So we've got an image form, the first surfacing of these ideas that later would be the relationship between spirit and matter, synchronicity, and the fact that the real challenge of life is being true to both matter and spirit, and that's what that point represents.
Congratulations. That is great.
Well, I think it's beautiful. I love that essay on the nature of the psyche. And see, I think that came out of his friendship with Pali, that paragraph. Pali's the one that emphasized you're eliminating the physical aspect of the archetype. And Jung took that seriously. So what we've got here, again, is that point between the two cones, which is the self, which is the mystery of meaningful events.
Wow, that really adds a lot, because those two cones, he made so much of them earlier. And it was like, okay, what's that?
Yeah.
That is really good. And is that, I don't know my diamond cuts very well, but is that the brilliant cut?
I know nothing in diamonds. Anyone know diamonds? Well, that's
pretty intricate.
Yeah.
Graphics, though.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of facets.
So I think what we're going to be seeing for quite a while, maybe even till the end, is all the different facets of self, of the self, that he is beginning to realize out of the insights coming to him through the Night Sea Journey.
The facets reflect the
one. Mm-hmm.
So all the facets of the self as reflected through Jung himself. Or not the self in general, because
I think the self in general.
Really.
Yeah.
And how it manifests in an individual, because we can never know the totality.
Right.
Of that.
Right.
It looks like, you know, I
can say
that it looks like cones coming in.
It does, doesn't it?
Should we look at it for a second?
Yeah, let's kill the lights. Oh, that makes a difference, huh? Our appreciation to the to the sheet lady.
The sheet lady. My new title.
We thank you for the sheet. It makes all the difference.
You can imagine when that painting was new and before that gold lost its color, how that would have really popped.
Mm-hmm. And it's almost as if the green of the dragon now.
That green of the dragon has lost its mosaic pattern. Mm-hmm. Now it has the creative forces pattern.
Yes, creative forces pattern, and the gold suns have now formed into one big, huge sun. That could be the light behind the facets of the diamond, just playing with my imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Out of which these four rivers flow.
Mm-hmm. It's like the center of the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And this represents the seed that is between the two cones?
Yes, he alludes to that. In peripheral commentary, though, here his emphasis is on lapis filiform. But that's what the lapis filiform is. It's the mystery of selfhood and time.
And could we say that the seed had an extreme amount of pressure from both those cones kind of forcing their energy onto it? and it takes a lot of pressure from the earth to make a diamond.
That's how they make diamonds artificially. They've got some kind of cones that they bring together on the carbon.
Really?
A carbon's in a cone, and then forces come down and enormous pressure on the artificial diamond.
Mm-hmm.
The squiggly line on the left is different than on the rest of the half of the bone.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that part of it?
Right. On the left, in squiggly line, there's like a little bone.
Yeah.
How do I do it?
Oh, just push the button.
Right there. Right above the light there. You see? Right there.
It has a...
It's different.
Oh, wait.
No.
It's different from the other.
Not really.
Oh, and you know what? That's the green. Yeah, that's the green behind it. Yeah, it looks blue, but it isn't.
It's just not... Oh, that's not blue. It's green.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does, but it is part of the green when you look at it.
What did you say about circles and squares? You talked about the process.
Circle, square.
So if the brilliant cut is a square, isn't that right?
Right.
A square cut, a brilliant diamond
it's
is a square?
Well, no.
Or is it a circle?
It's also circular. I think it's a kind of cut that's applied to different shapes,
okay.
Though, right?
I don't know anything about
that. Because I know there are a lot of round brilliants. I know that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know that the amount of human endeavor that went into the creation of that diamond is what all those cuts show.
Mm-hmm.
That's the human effort.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very intricate and
a lot of complexity there.
Yeah, for sure.
And those are all chiseled away from the families.
I think they're ground.
They're ground.
I think so, right? When you make a diamond, you grind it, huh?
But in fact, there's some force that's cutting out parts.
I think it gets make it ground. I don't know, I'm not positive. I'm pretty sure it's right. I saw something about the Hope diamond. And some of those big diamonds are actually have their own light. They fluoresce in the darkness.
Do they really?
Yeah. I have no idea.
Wow.
They turn off these lights and the thing is like lit up, you know?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And probably also why diamonds are in the image of the self. Not only their hardness, but they
have their own light.
But they have their own light.
I have no idea.
Carl, do you know anything about that chemically? What would be going on?
It might be under UV.
They
show. Oh.
It's not a phosphorescence, though. It's just a... In other words, it pulls light for a while, and then it slowly dissipates.
Oh, like a watch...
Luminescence.
Is that luminescence? Like a watch... Your hands on a watch or something.
Right. Make decals with stars and moons that kids would go to their ceiling and turn off the lights and go for a while.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what a diamond does, but the true phosphorescence would mean you would have to have some energy source inside
it. Would it mean it would eventually decompose?
Well, that's not what happens with a diamond. Because they're already millions of years old, and
yeah.
They don't diminish in that respect.
So it could be
a characteristic of their atomic structure.
But if it is giving off light, it would have to be giving off photons, which are converted electrons. Anyway, they're cool.
Well, I guess blue diamonds are especially known for that, and here he's made it look like blue diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if they knew that then, about the blue diamonds.
How long will they give off light?
Well, always.
Always.
Is how I understood it. So they must be gathering just light and somehow re-emitting it. I don't know.
No. we kept it in the dark room for days and days.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that whole thing.
Yeah, give us a report on that.
Created under the earth where it's completely dark.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Why do they glow?
It's like a hall of mirrors. The light gets in there.
I like that
boing,
idea.
Boing, boing, boing.
Yes, why does the Hope Diamond continue to glow? Good question.
I've seen the Hope Diamond years and years ago, but I don't remember it glowing.
Well, you'd have to look at it under UV light.
Oh, okay.
Like black light too?
Yeah, I guess that's what that was, right? Yeah.
Well, don't all minerals, it's a mineral, right? Isn't a diamond made out of minerals?
Carbon,
so all of those give off light under certain conditions.
No.
They don't?
No.
I'm going to ask my chemistry friend.
Because all diamonds do that.
Okay.
So that's how I know.
Just
that
blue diamond?
Huh?
Just blue?
Well, no. I think some of the other ones do. Blues are especially.
No. And are they very rare?
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. Little listener. But this basically, he says, is the dark side of the diamond.
The other side of the diamond?
Yeah. This is the back side of the gem.
Yeah. This is the Atmavik II form of Philemon withdrawing into history, he says.
And what did you think of
it? In his footnote, he says it's the Atmavik II form of Philemon withdrawing into history. So, like, back into the stone, you know? But don't you think, you know, at first I thought there's not much interesting about this image.
That's what I thought.
And then I started looking at those eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at them one way, they can be eyes open, with the blue being the right of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it another way, they're the eyes closed, floating in blue pools, because he shows the lashes and the eyes closed there. You know, they're very strange. I don't know how I came up with that. But anyway, I found that interesting. Don't you think he kind of looks like Pan?
Yes.
You know, and remember you were talking about on out when the gods died at that one stage? The cry went out, the great Pan is dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that reminded me of.
Yeah, so this would be the shadow of the self. And I would say, namely, what he's gone through to get there. That's why it looks like Pan.
Hmm.
You mean here?
No.
Down below. Down.
Yeah.
Oh.
And there's one
on the other
down
side.
Beard up there too.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of weird placement of it, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Sticking out of there.
And they're both going the same direction.
It looks like a crater.
Well, this is some kind of a elongated shell. They're using the shell to keep
Like Petrodura, isn't it?
What is it?
Petrodura, those are those stone pieces, those paintings made out of stone, little tiny stone pieces.
Okay, next.
I just love this one. I don't know why.
Well, it's like relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're getting water.
Yeah. It dwarfs and growth, and it's being watered and a temple.
And then there's Atmavik too
down below.
See all those plants are growing out of Atmavik too. Oh.
Yeah, and aren't there little dwarfs there too?
The dwarfs
down
are
below,
in the,
no, they're up above.
They're in the flowers.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. That, I thought maybe that was
more. No, that's like bones sticking out of Atmavik.
Oh, that's Atmavik. Yeah.
Didn't he say something about Aquarius? Aquarius.
Yeah, he's called that figure Aquarius.
The four streams of Aquarius flow from the stone. So now here he becomes Aquarius.
Yeah.
And he's the water carrier of his life.
And see that shape the water takes? That's the astrological shape for the sign of Aquarius.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Right.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That jaggedy.
Okay. Right. And then you've got the sun and the moon there. What's curious is the temple in the and the clouds is very much like a mosque, which we
it
saw
is,
that earlier
it?
On.
Yeah.
When
it always says temple, always is.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you think that's the sun and the moon?
I think it's the sun and the moon. That he's standing on the moon and the sun is behind him. Mm-hmm.
Well, that makes sense because they say all what the old myths say that all the water comes on the earth comes from the moon. Well, finally the lavender is resolved. Mm-hmm. Because I like the lavender on its burnt umber background. Mm-hmm. And it's turned into roots. Mm-hmm. You gotta wonder if he's using that lavender symbology consciously or not. I'll bet he's not. But it's just instinctive.
Yeah, so we've achieved something.
So the Kabiri, the creative forces, mm-hmm. arise from that dark aspect
mm-hmm.
that's going back into history.
Mm-hmm.
And he must now water those creative
mm-hmm.
forces. Give them life, give them moisture.
Now let's see, is that him or is that...
That's his helper,
Bonnie.
Isn't it? No, that's, I think...
That's his helper, yeah.
That's his
that's
helper.
That's the killer of Siegfried?
Mm-hmm.
The supportive helper, yeah. You think that mosque-like temple is there because now this becomes his religious task.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's having to do with Eros,
mm-hmm,
which
absolutely.
Would be the Middle Eastern.
Absolutely. And I wonder, too, if it even might even be an intuition of the future role Islam is going to play for us.
Mm-hmm.
Play for us. Because, you know, von Franz wrote, I think I read you guys, 1970, that the future task would be the synthesis of Christianity and Islam.
Well, all the early churches had the round spiritual plan.
Romanesque.
And well, before that, in fact, the Greek spiritual plan
uh-huh.
in the dome and in the Pantheon in Rome was mm-hmm. based on that too.
Mm-hmm. Istanbul, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was usually a Christian based church.
Mm-hmm.
There were a there were a lot of early churches here that had the Robert Plummer. Or combined Ron and Square.
That's probably going to get me to understand what conscious is in the realm of what they call it.
It's kind of odd, your phone is so blood red. Mm-hmm. It's the same color as the flower.
Mm-hmm. But I think he's paid for the sun in blood.
That could also be the blood of Atma Victor,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the red sun,
one
in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that water really does come from working in the sun in the moon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why do you say that? Because of the color symbolism in the moon?
Well, look at the color of the bay.
Just where it appears visually to be coming more from the sun. Up.
Oh, coming from the sun, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the color of the vessel that the he's vessel, holding right. is mm-hmm. the same as the mm-hmm. sun. So out of the sacrifice that he made comes mm-hmm. the water of life, the moon aspect.
Uh-huh. Well said, yeah. Okay, shall we move on? Or do you have more you want to say in there? We'll look at, I don't know, there's not much, is there much here? The historiated initial, or the next chapter? Just let that be in peace. Okay, we'll just dig into the text then. We are at January 22nd, 1914. The war hadn't started yet. War started in August of 1914, if I remember correctly. So he asks his soul to dive down, and I think we essentially have a recapitulation of where we've been.
Where are we?
Page 305. The new section is the three prophecies. Oh. And he says, I called my soul and asked her to dive down into the floods, whose distant roaring I could hear. This happened on 22nd January of the year 1914. So remember, too, nobody had an idea that there would be a war.
Didn't he talk? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Didn't it start?
August 1914.
Oh, and didn't he talk in a dream about Europe being covered
yeah.
like a flood of
mm-hmm.
blood?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the flood he's talking about?
I don't know. Could be. I take it more just the chaos of his personal life, but they may be the same. And again, I think we can do this page pretty quickly. What she brings up is the gear of our fathers. Well, that's the ancestors. We've already seen that. Painted stones, carved bones. Well, that's the self. Also, epidemics, catastrophes. That's the coming war. All of that I think we've seen, so I was prepared just to move on. Unless you have any questions on that page.
Why does she... I couldn't understand why she asked him about knowing his limits. It's the last sentence there.
Yeah.
I had a feeling about that.
Go ahead.
On the next page, he talks a little bit about seeing the future, seeing too much of the future.
Yeah.
And it's as though the unconscious is telling him now, don't try to
yeah.
take in, try to know the future too much. Just concentrate on the things that
right.
are important.
Okay. Cultivate your garden.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, exactly. That's how she says it, right?
Yeah.
From Voltaire.
Yes, from Candy.
Because he seems to be indicating that he's looking into the future of mankind as a whole. It gets a glimpse.
Yeah.
Didn't you get that?
Absolutely. Me? Yeah, and I think that pretty well sums up page 306. But let me, before we get there, let me just mention, I think we're seeing now the agenda for the rest of the book. The misery of war, the darkness of magic, and the gift of religion. They're the three prophecies. They will be the chapters that follow. So that's almost like the preview of the coming attraction. And she says, you know, war is obvious, everybody sees it. Well, not like it was going to happen. That was the most... I would still say that's the most vicious war we've ever had, even worse than World War II. How many people were killed at Hiroshima? 50,000? A million were killed in one battle in France. And the poison gas in the trenches, I guess it's stupid maybe to try to compare wars, but that degree of misery had not yet visited itself on humanity.
When did Jung have his dream of blood coming washing over your...
About a year earlier.
So he'd already had the benefit of that dream.
Yeah.
In fact, it precipitated him in a way that
right.
plunged into his
yeah.
conscious. So he has a quote, benefit of that dream.
Right.
And all the speculating and pre-associating.
But he still didn't know whether it was all inside him or would it occur outside him. And I think, you probably know this better than any of us, Carl, with your studies of culture, but I think Europe at this time had no clue. It was still the gay 90s, effectively, at that time. Living large and happy, and so his premonition just seemed so out of place. And then I don't want to go too fast here, but I think we can dispense of some of this because we're going to see these next three chapters coming up. And then basically what she is saying is the future is the future. We have to be aware of it, but you got work to do now. And we know now, but he probably wouldn't have known it then, that work he was doing now, as it were, was about the future. And then we have this picture. That's image 125. Yeah.
Okay, that picture just scares the hell out of me.
Okay. Do tell.
I think it's prophetic.
Of?
Global warming, the Alsace flooding, and Basel being the seaport.
Okay.
The Alsace flooding?
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
That's part of France, that if global warming were to get bad enough, the seas rise up, it would all be flooded.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and then Basel, which is this city, which he envisions becoming a seaport, would indeed be the seaport. And it happens right at the spot where she tells him not to look too far into the future, where he has looked really far into the future and he's become afraid.
So and the Rhine Valley would flood?
Well, I looked on a topographical map, and I don't think it's part of the Rhine Valley, but it's all low lying, you know, into the outside. Just where he talks about it, being underwater, when he envisions this pain.
Well, and that horizon looks like snow. It's wonderful.
But here,
well, yeah, like here.
But here the sun and the earth are one thing. That's cross with a circle in it. That's the symbol for
the
earth. Yeah. And they're all one. And they're all one thing. The sun is all one thing with it.
There's a lot of darkness down on the earth except for the house with the garden that's fenced in. You've got looting going on. You've got some kind of military bunker here in the front.
With all the activities of that city right at that period, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it just strikes me so much that his soul has backed him away from looking into this kind of thing. And yet here we have, you know, I'm not saying it's a vision of what will be, but it's a vision of possibilities. That's how it strikes me.
Well, I'm just aware of the time. Why don't we start with this next time? And chew on it, listen to what Carol said, come up with your reactions, and we'll pick up with your reactions. Because it's really important. It's that diamond now in the world.
And is that man on that, is that like he's sitting on the carpet?
It looks like he's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that man, is that another, is that the usual
conclusion? I don't think he says, but this is where I think they all start to blend together. He could be the useful supporter, he could be Fani's, he could be Telesphorus, but whatever he is, he's the new awareness, an aspect of the new awareness. That's how I understand it. Well, thank you. And we'll have one more in 2 weeks.
Are we supposed to bring snacks?
It's up to you. Is that yes or no?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. So should we say snacks more than major food or whatever the spirit moves?
Yeah.